new, to repeat something I said here this morning at the beginning. So we're going to get a 10-minute dress out before we get into, and those of you who heard it,
So I don't know it then.
It's a chazara shiur for the rest of you.
Okay. This goes over here because I go off. I don't like that.
Yom Yerushalayim is a day that has troubled me for many years. I have mixed feelings. On the one hand, I'm very happy to celebrate this day. I consider it a very important day on the calendar. On the other hand, I get very upset with the fact that outside of our community, the Dahlian community, Yom Yerushalayim is pretty much ignored. And unlike Yom Ha'atzmaut, which is widely celebrated throughout the country. One time when I was speaking about this in Netanya, one of the people in shul came up to me and said, "Rabbi, you really don't understand the problem. You see, all Jewish holidays are about food and about when you eat and where you eat and can you eat. And if you go into a supermarket before any holiday, here in Israel, certainly you will see displays telling you what holiday is coming. You don't want the food." And he said, "Rabbi, Yom Yerushalayim's problem is it doesn't have a menu. You need a menu for Yom Yerushalayim, then people will take it more seriously." Joking aside, I think there's something else going on here, and that's what I want to talk to you about for a few minutes. We look at the Sfirat HaOmer that we're in now, towards the end of the Sfirat HaOmer. Sfirat HaOmer links two holidays. It links Pesach with Shavuot. Pesach is a holiday that is very widely observed, even by people who do not consider themselves observant at all. And Shavuot, maybe they'll eat a piece of cheesecake, I don't know, but it's not the same thing at all. And similarly, Yom Ha'atzmaut and Yom Yerushalayim are in the same boat, also within this period of time. Now, Pesach is a holiday that someone who is secular can relate to. Because Pesach is about freedom, Jewish independence, being our own people, being free of oppression. That's something that has a widespread message. Shavuot, on the other hand, has a message that is, it's Zman Matan Torotenu, it's a time when we're receiving the Torah. And that's a message that not everybody is comfortable with. Similarly, Yom Yerushalayim is not like Yom Ha'atzmaut. Because Yom Yerushalayim is not about achieving independence. Yom Yerushalayim was about receiving the holiness of Eretz Yisrael back into our possession. My Rav in Netanya, Rav Avram David Spector, who passed away this past year, last year said something very interesting, Yom Ha'atzmaut, could be for Yom Yerushalayim. He said, "Why is it that on Pesach, at the Seder, we have a principle, you're supposed to start with the negative and end with the positive. The sad tale and go to the praiseworthy tale. Talk about slavery and then go to freedom." And he said the reason is because if you can't appreciate what was before, you can't appreciate the magnitude of what happened for us since. And this is true about Yom Yerushalayim. So allow me for just a couple of minutes now. For those of you who came in late, this is not our shiur yet. This is a special that we're doing for a few minutes. Okay. Just for a few minutes, think about the following things. What was this? What was the Jewish world like, and what was Israel like before 1967? I was here as a student in Karen Biavne in 1960. So I can remember a few things from then that sort of stick out of my mind. We came to Yerushalayim. And we went up to Har Tzion, which was the only place of old Yerushalayim we could go to. And we stood there and looked at the walls of the old city and looked over towards the Har Habayim. And the tour guide told us don't point with your finger, because the Jordanian soldiers standing on the other side, we could see them from where we were, from a distance might think you're pointing a gun and they'll fire. That was pre-1967 Yerushalayim. That's what it was like back then. It was also a time when the Israeli Air Force, I was in Kerem-Biyam, there was an air base not too far from us. Israeli planes would fly over, and I noticed we had the most amazing pilots in the world, because they knew how to make sharper turns than any pilot I've ever seen. Because Israel's a narrow strip, and in order not to cross the border, they had to learn how to fly very precision flying. It may be the secret of the success of the Israeli Air Force, for all I know, that they had to go through all of this. I remember the weeks before the Six-Day War. We all, and I lived overseas at that point, we all thought Israel was on the verge of annihilation. In Tel Aviv, they were digging graves, they were preparing graves in the city parks because they thought there would be that many people killed. We thought this was the end. All of this was what things were like before the Six-Day War. And before the Six-Day War, Aliyah wasn't what it became after the Six-Day War. I have a good friend who works for the Sukkot. He told me that if you look at the Aliyah statistics from USA, Canada, before 67, and after 67, you'll notice a spike right after the Six-Day War. So many people made Aliyah then. We hadn't even thought about it before. There was an awakening of Am Yisrael because of that war. What happened during this war is that there was a confrontation with Judaism. Up until then, we had a homeland, Baruch Hashem. We had a haven for those who survived the Holocaust to gain here. But the spirituality of Israel wasn't there yet for us. The places that we read about in Chumash and in Tanakh that are so significant to us were not in our possession. You know what cities we had before the war? We had all of the cities that in biblical times were Philistine. That whole coastal plain going down from Tel Aviv to Ashdod to Ashkelon, that whole area, that was Philistine land. Eretz Yisrael was Yerushalayim, Shechem, Bethlehem, Hebron. That's Israel. And that we didn't have until after the Six-Day War, and that somehow awakened a certain kind of spirituality. Amos Asael was certainly not an observant Jew. Amos Asael, those of you who read the Jerusalem Post, he writes that often. He wrote the following about Shavuot 1967, just after the war. He says, he talked about the experience at the Kotel. There were 200,000 people, jubilant. They came from all over the country with temple hats, singing, dancing. It was biblical, like a pilgrimage. On that Shavuot, people felt that Mashiach was in the air. You could not avoid that. It's not a connotation, it's not an association, it's a tangible national suspicion. What else happened after this war was Soviet Jewry suddenly woke up. They weren't the Jews of silence anymore. Even though Elie Wiesel always said that when he coined that term, he was referring to the Jews outside the Soviet Union who were silent about them. But we've given them that title because, in effect, they were silent as well. After 67, they started pressuring the Soviet government. Things changed. Russian Aliyah started to become a reality as well. All of this was part of the awakening that took place because of what happened in 1967, this very day. So when we think about Yom Yerushalayim, we have to think about all the changes that have taken place. I went to Kerem Biavne, because in those days there was only one Hesder Yeshiva in all of Israel. After 1967, they were blossomed. I had a friend who came that same year who wanted to go to Yeshiva, and he was a Chozer B'Tshuva, and he needed a beginner's Yeshiva. there was no place for him to go. All of the yeshivot for beginners and chazir b'tshuvah were only established after 1967. Israel is a different place since then. We're different, Am Yisrael is different. Chag Sameach.